This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
It's World Wide Wave time, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight you've got Chris, Dean and myself, Matt, and we're taking you around the world and stopping off in the Highlands of Scotland.
Terrible
accent. I couldn't resist.
That was as good as a three-day-old haggis.
Now, what happened behind the scenes to bring Scotland success in their campaign for same-sex marriage? What is the Australian lead that Scotland is following in the name of equality? And speaking with our guest, we solve the age-old mystery of just what does a gay Scotsman wear under his kilt. To understand gay life in Scotland, tonight we're speaking with Scott Cuthbertson, the Community Development Coordinator from Equality Network Scotland, and here's a taste.
Joy 94.9.
It was a tear-jerking moment, I have to say. I mean, as a proud Scotsman, I was very proud when our Parliament chose to bring about equal marriage. I think it's a really progressive piece of legislation. There are parts of the legislation that we worked hard on, like, for example, trying to get more inclusivity around transgender people and their rights and their relationships.
Hi, my name is Kenneth. I'm from LGB Denmark. You're hearing me on the World Wide Wave.
Tonight we're in Scotland and exploring everything there is to know about LGBT life in Scotland. So let's kick off with some fun, fast facts.
Can I just say provisionally, happy country!
Happy country, it is a happy country.
Oh, at last.
We do get some countries which are a bit of a challenge. Scotland is not one of those. In fact, in many areas they're ahead of us, and in a couple of areas they're just behind, but nipping on our heels. Now, same-sex sexual activity has been legal there since 1980.
Woo-woo!
Yay! And in fact, their history, there were no statutes making sex between men unlawful between 1424 and 1707. But they did have punishment for being homosexual. I don't quite know how that worked. But then, of course, the British laws came in and homosexuality was bad and everything went downhill until 1980, where they changed the laws. Again, a bit of a lag effect. It wasn't until the year 2000 that they changed the laws that prevented the promotion of homosexuality.
Huh. So imagine, if you will, a beautiful Scottish loch, perhaps surrounded by autumn foliage.
Ooh.
This is where same-sex couples will be getting married this year, because that's when it will be legalised officially. So
yay!
The best weddings are happening.
Except all the men will be in skirts.
Yeah, exactly.
Kilts.
Nothing
thank
wrong with
you
that.
Very much.
Nothing
and
wrong
loch
with that.
Is Scottish for lake, for those of you who aren't aware.
Oh, aren't you Mr. Knowledgeable tonight?
Well, I am half Scottish, so I should know these things.
So, yes, the Scottish Parliament did pass the same-sex marriage bill just this year, the 4th of February. Whopping vote, mm-hmm. 108 to 15.
Yep.
Don't those 15 have egg on their face now?
What wailing and gnashing of teeth there would have been behind the scenes with that lot.
But even before then, they've actually had civil partnerships since 2005, which sort of covered everything from inheritance to social security, property rights, some parental responsibilities, pension benefits, all those sorts of things. So they had civil partnerships in place for a number of years before tackling the issue of same-sex marriage.
And adoption as well. So since 2009, same-sex couples have been able to adopt children and also be considered as foster parents, which is completely wonderful. In terms of trans news, stuff doesn't look great from a 2010 survey which came through where those surveyed, and bear in mind this is just those who were surveyed, 49% said that they were not okay with people that they knew who had had a sex change operation. But that having been said, Scotland has some wonderful support both from government and also from NGOs, and at the moment I believe are piloting a project on trans art around the country. So some really wonderful things there.
And in fact, we are speaking with Scott Cuthbertson Cuthbertson from Equality Network Scotland, and also talking about trans issues tonight. Interesting stat here, 94% of Scots who played football would be quite comfortable with a gay footballer on their team. And another little one that we came across, the use of homophobic language. This is from a report just in 2012. Use of homophobic language is endemic in schools. Almost 99% of gay young people hear the phrase, "That's so gay," or "You're so gay." Well, damn it, we've had enough.
We have had enough.
What are we going to do about it?
I don't know. What are we going to do?
Oh, we are
didn't
going...
expect that question.
we right here outraged. At Joy, we're outraged, but we're going to reclaim "That's So Gay,"
yeah,
as a positive and affirming thing with "That's So Joy." That's the theme of Radiothon, which commences next week. So we've got our special Radiothon show next week where you can join us in reclaiming that.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil, listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back here on the World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight we are stopping off in Scotland, speaking to Scott from the Equality Network in Scotland.
Now, there's no hotter topic in Scotland at the moment than the recently passed same-sex marriage legislation. So that's where we started our chat with Scott from Scotland.
Joy.
Now, Scotland has had great success just recently with same-sex marriage. Can you tell us where that's up to and what that was like?
Well, it was great to be involved in the equal marriage campaign here in Scotland. The bill has been passed by the Scottish Parliament by one of the largest majorities of any parliament in the world. And at the moment, they're working with the UK government to make sure that the legislation comes into place so that the first marriage will take place towards the end of the year.
Do you have a sense of what that will be like? Are people planning marriage parties?
Well, I mean, we've had civil partnerships in Scotland for the last 5 years, and civil partnership celebrations have been taking place in every part of Scotland, from the Shetland Isles down to Gretna Green and Dumfries and Galloway. I think everyone will decide their own way how they're going to have their celebrations. A lot of them will be like traditional marriages taking place in religious settings, and some people will choose to do something a little different, and you know, that's good on them.
My understanding, Scott, is that there were huge scenes of jubilant celebration within Parliament when the law was passed. Is that correct?
It was a tear-jerking moment, I have to say. I mean, as a proud Scotsman, I was very proud when our Parliament chose to bring about equal marriage. I think it's a really progressive piece of legislation. There are parts of the legislation that we worked hard on, like, for example, trying to get more inclusivity around transgender people and their rights and their relationships. The Deputy First Minister of Scotland said herself it was the proudest day that she's ever had in the Scottish Parliament, and she's been responsible for leading on quite a lot of legislation in Scotland. To say that this is one of our proudest moments is obviously a big moment for her.
Tell us a bit about the behind the scenes. You know, what was the involvement of the Equality Network from Scotland in this, and how did you help to raise this issue?
Well, we led the equal marriage campaign in Scotland for a great number of years. We were calling for equal marriage even when civil partnerships weren't enacted. It was a very long-term agenda. After civil partnerships came in, we started our campaign for equal marriage. It's the first UK-wide campaign for same-sex marriage. And to be honest, the politicians didn't really want to listen. At that point in time, they felt that we had just achieved civil partnerships, which were, in their opinion, all but marriage, but in name. And we had some convincing to do, and that's something that we set about doing with civil society organisations, with a coalition of LGBT organisations across Scotland, with community groups, trade unions, convincing them that civil partnerships was a step in the right direction. But now it was time to enact full same-sex marriage.
So there was a general perception, I understand, within the community that civil partnerships were, you know, near enough is good enough.
Well, some people had always said that civil partnerships were a step in the right direction, and that was their position. But there were some people, and some people who still feel that civil partnerships actually give them all the rights that they want, and they will choose to maintain their civil partnerships, to stay civilly partnered to their husbands or wives, rather than to go through a full same-sex marriage. There are others who will choose to get same-sex marriage. And actually, the campaign for us isn't over, because civil partnerships in the United Kingdom are not open to same-sex couples, open to mixed-sex couples. And so we're going to continue to campaign for full equality. So if same-sex couples can access marriage, then straight couples should be able to access civil partnerships. It's only fair.
Equal marriage was the actual bill passed in February this year. Has there been a backlash in the community?
No, a majority of Scots supported equal marriage, and that was one of the reasons why the politicians were able to with such a large majority, vote in favour. With civil society very much supported it, trade unions supported it, all of the political party leaders in Scotland supported same-sex marriage, and so, you know, it was a bit of a no-brainer. Obviously, there are some people who feel that maybe their religious rights haven't been valued as much as they would like them to be. But, you know, these things always progress. There were people who campaigned against civil partnerships who now think that civil partnerships were a good thing. And hopefully, in a few years' time, they'll see that same-sex marriage is also a good thing too.
There was still an exemption for religious organisations maintained, so that there's no discrimination if they refuse to perform same-sex marriages?
There is an opt-out for religious organisations who do not wish to perform a same-sex marriage. Unlike the English law, where the Church of England is actually banned under the law from conducting same-sex marriage, there's a system known as the triple lock. The Church of Scotland, at the moment, who say they won't be conducting same-sex marriages, they can in the future, as these things move forward, maybe change their mind and decide to conduct. But, you know, there was lots of religious communities in Scotland, the Unitarians, the Reformed Jews, and non-religious organisations like the Humanists that were all calling for the right to be able to conduct same-sex marriages for their communities.
Joy.
You're hearing the wonderful Scottish tones of Scott Cuthbertson from the Equality Network Scotland. I love that concept. You know, well, number one, they're still driving things forward. The job is clearly not done. But I love that he was saying civil partnerships, so mixed sex couples aren't eligible for the civil partnership law. So it was sort of that de facto gay marriage thing that they bought in as a halfway step. But now this gay advocacy group is saying, well, hang on, that's not fair. Straight people should be able to access civil partnership laws.
Amen to that.
Yeah, that's very, very progressive. I mean, I'm sure they've got lots of things on their plates, but really good to push that along. And wasn't it heartening? In fact, I'm so jealous. Heartening to hear that all the major political parties supported the vote for same-sex marriage.
Amazing. I wonder how many political parties there are.
Well, there'd be quite a few. I don't know.
I don't know.
But sort of mirror that across to Australia. And
It's true. And not just the political parties. He said also that the Church of Scotland...
Have another drink, will you?
..may not be having any same-sex marriages in their churches anytime soon. The Unitarians, there was a Jewish congregation as well, the Humanist Society, lots of religious non-denominational organisations who were really keen to get involved and induct some same-sex couples.
So they're just on board, aren't they?
They're just on board.
Some breaking news from today. The United Kingdom Independence Party, which looks to have won the most votes in the European Parliament, the Scottish votes in the European Parliament, have elected their first gay, openly gay, member of the European Parliament. David Coburn managed to clinch the UKIP's first seat. where the party came sixth from in 2009. So they've really become quite popular, and they've snared a gay boy in the Member of the European
Fantastic.
Parliament.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Lots of things happening.
Sounds like we need people like that to balance off. I've got this great press point on a woman called Julia Gasper who only got 0.76 of the vote, but that's because she's an idiot and and claims that Daniel Radcliffe and the queer mafia were responsible for victimising former Mozilla CEO Brendan Eich, who had to step down for homophobic comments. But I love the idea of Daniel Radcliffe leading the charge of like a whole group of the queer mafia with flags and burning stakes.
Honey, it was just a movie.
Don't say these things.
Now, stick around. We've got much more about Scotland tonight. You're on the World Wide Wave.
This is Autumn Butter from LGBT Centre of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on World Wide Wave.
Tonight we are talking Scotland, where we have been talking with Scott Cuthbertson from the Equality Network of Scotland, and we wanted to speak to him a little bit about their upcoming independence referendum.
Joy!
Now, there's a lot going on at the political level in Scotland. You've got the independence referendum coming up. What does that referendum potentially mean for LGBTIQ rights?
Well, at the moment, we remain neutral on the independence. There are many of our supporters who support independence for Scotland, and there are many of our supporters who support remaining within the United Kingdom. So we don't have a specific position, but there are opportunities and drawbacks on both sides, and we will work, whatever the results, to make sure that we get the best for LGBT people. There's opportunities in the potential creation of a new constitution for Scotland and how that would look and how it would include LGBTI people. There's also opportunities for how Scotland continues to gaze around it with the United Kingdom and on foreign policy, on ensuring that Britain is pushing the human rights agenda around the world.
The Equality Network in Scotland has been very busy on a number of fronts. You have the Commonwealth Games coming up in Glasgow, and I understand there are some activities around that for LGBTI participants planned.
Yeah, we see the Commonwealth Games as a huge opportunity to look and highlight LGBTI voices from around the planet. Of the 53 countries that make up the Commonwealth, 41 of them still criminalise their LGBT citizens. And while we don't want to be the old colonial voice, if you like, we think it's a really good opportunity to make sure that the rights and the actions and the people of all these countries in the Commonwealth are highlighted and seen by everyone who's taking part or watching the games around the world.
And almost aligned with this, another program you've got is Out in Sport. Can you tell us a bit about that one?
We've been running our Out in Sport program for a few years now to encourage, to encourage LGBT people to be more active in sport, but also working with sports governing bodies, football associations, rugby teams and other sporting groups that are high profile in Scotland to ensure that they're fully inclusive and open to LGBT people in sport. I mean, very much in a way taking a lead from Australia on this. In a few weeks' time we'll be launching our LGBT sports charter, encouraging sports governing bodies to sign up. And I know that that was done in Australia very recently, where there was a promise to eliminate homophobia in sport. We'll be doing something similar in a few weeks' time.
That is very exciting, and it's good to hear the worldwide flow-on effect of such things as this. So there has been great support here in Australia from our major sporting codes. Another area that your organisation is active in is transgender rights and transgender issues, which is often, I guess, is a bit of a lag in terms of rights. What are you working on there?
I mean, we see transgender rights as integral towards sexual orientation and gender identity equality. And we've always very much worked along gender and sexual orientation in the same programme. So, for example, when we were working on equal marriage, we wanted to make sure that our transgender friends weren't left out in the debate and discussion. We wanted a progressive law that was inclusive of transgender identities, and we very much got that with a very progressive bill. At the moment, again, it's one area where Australia is leading. We've just started a campaign to ensure that transgender people can legally get a birth certificate, not necessarily in the male or female genders, that people who don't define strictly as male or female will be able to register an X or another marker on their birth certificate or passport and not have to define into these strict binary male or female genders. Again, that is something that Australia has led on very recently with a Scotsman from my hometown, actually, of Paisley, who travelled out to Australia and recently has won his fight, their fight to ensure that they can legally recognise an X on their birth certificate.
Scott, your organisation is doing some fantastic things, the Equality Network of Scotland. Can you let us in on a secret, though? What does a gay Scotsman wear under his kilt?
As little as possible.
If he's a true Scotsman, it is as little as possible. But given the weather we've been having recently, I wouldn't be surprised if they're wearing a lot.
Scott from Equality Network Scotland, thank you for joining us on the World Wide Wave.
Thank you very much.
Joy.
That was a great chat with Scott. Scott from Scotland.
Wearing a lot at the moment under his kilt. Good.
A true Scotsman doesn't wear anything under his kilt.
How do you know that, Dean?
Because that's what the sporran is for. So the idea of the sporran, which is a sort of pouch at the front of your kilt, is to keep it weighed down so that it doesn't blow up in the wind.
Yeah, you still didn't tell me how you know that, but that's for another show. Really,
at a later time.
At a later time slot, that's right. Commonwealth Games, really interesting stuff happening there because 41 of the 53 Commonwealth countries have some degree of criminalisation for homosexuality.
As we visit week after week, yes.
Through the British colonial laws and, quite ironic that Scotland is leading a charge trying to get some inclusivity. The other thing that's coming out of the Commonwealth Games is Pride House. Now, Pride House is a international safe place, I guess you'd say, held at Commonwealth Games, with the exception of Russia, of course, who said, no, you can't have one. There is going to be a Pride House at the Glasgow Commonwealth Games. So perhaps there's some athletes from countries where homosexuality is criminalised that can go to that safe place and have some fun and meet some people.
Which is wonderful. And also, if you're part of an LGBT network in Australia and you'd like to contribute to Scott's project, you can be a part of the Commonwealth Games all the way from Australia. You just have to look up the Equality Network and send them through photos or a little blurb or a video of what you do and what it means to be LGBTI in Australia.
And also that lovely link there where they're following our lead of the charter for their major sports. So Australia's had great success in getting the major sports to sign up. It's still, not huge amounts of actions behind it as yet, but very symbolic start. And they're taking the same approach there in Scotland.
And it looks like they're following our lead on getting a gender-neutral marker in birth certs as well, which is also wonderful.
Hi, I am Fernando from Guadalajara, Mexico, and you are listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
You're on the World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe at one country at a time. And time to look at what's happening in the gay world this week with our worldwide wrap.
Good news. So we've got some hurrah news, which is that the new Boy Scouts president in the US of A says that he would allow gay scouts. He said, I would have supported having gay scout masters, but at the same time, I fully accept the decision that was democratically arrived at by 1,500 volunteers. So hopefully though, given his strong feelings and passion, as he says on the matter, things will change a little bit down the track. Thank goodness.
Now he's the former defence minister, wasn't he? Robert Gates in the US?
Yes, you were right.
That's pretty...
And director of the CIA. He helped to end the ban on gays in the US, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great for scouts to have somebody there. And,
bit of a strange sideways step, though, CIA to Boy Scouts.
Well, it's probably an honorary position, I would think.
Okay.
I don't know. Interesting things here in Australia. We might try and get somebody on the show, actually. So the murmurs of change happening here, a new chief commissioner in Victoria, maybe some changes there. Very exciting stuff. Over to Brazil now, where a Brazilian Catholic bishop has backed civil unions. Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Wow.
Brazilian and Catholic, one of the most Catholic places in the world, he's come out and said, yeah, look, civil unions are okay. He has stopped short and said, but not gay marriage. It's not the same.
Not yet.
No. But, you know.
Not with the gay mafia at his heels.
Baby steps. And also interesting because they've got the Olympics coming as well. So the world spotlight's going to be shone on them. So, you know.
Could it be the influence of Pope Francis, perhaps? He's been somewhat more conciliatory towards our community since becoming Pope fairly recently.
Quite possibly. Quite possibly. And if you missed our show on Vatican City, go to the website and download the podcast. It was one of our most popular shows with people sending in messages galore all night. So go to joy.org.au/worldwidewave and search Vatican City.
Now, on some slightly less good news, well, you know, depending on where you're coming from, the world's largest democracy recently had an election. Yes, that's India. And the Hindu nationalist BJP party is on course for a landslide victory. Final results are still being tallied. However, it's definitely a landslide victory. Unfortunately, they want to keep it banned for another at least 5 years. So they're a homophobic political party, and the BJP president has opposed any further attempts to further gay rights or even decriminalise homosexuality again. And some of you may remember that it was only recriminalised quite recently. Boo!
Yes. And lots of it is something that even in Indian society has caused a lot of chatter. In fact, a Bollywood star has come out. Sonam Kapoor, who is a Bollywood star, has come out and said that she thinks it's completely okay to be gay. She thinks the anti-gay laws contradict their culture and is very supportive of it. So despite these political machinations and the party that's just been elected, the BJP party, coming out in opposition, there's still very big voices with very big support bases saying yes.
Well, she's not going to be able to cross over to Hollywood if she maintains those homophobic attitudes, is she?
Well, indeed. And I also think that she did, I think it might have been her who did an amazing video with, if you take a look at the United Nations Born Free and Equal campaign, which is a really gorgeous global campaign that they've launched this year in LGBTIQ rights all around the world, you can see a number of Indian stars who have come out and made these great videos supporting LGBTI people, which is wonderful. And you know what? If all else fails, I think that we can just natural disaster these terrible political parties out of power, because apparently gay people and trans people, in particular Conchita Wurst, who was the recent winner,
the bearded drag queen that won Eurovision, that's right.
Is to blame for the Balkan floods. So Orthodox church leaders seem to think that she was a cause. And I believe the UKIP also said that gay marriage was the reason for the floods in the UK. So, you know,
I didn't know we yielded so much power.
Right? I saw a great article on how LGBT people can cure climate change or areas of severe drought by bringing the gay to places that are short of water.
Okay. Homophobes, Harry Potter, just a movie. Just a movie. It's all smoke and mirrors, people. Honestly.
Now to Fiji, a little closer to home, the Pacific Council of Churches and the Methodist Church of Fiji have called on their members to practice unconditional love and compassion to all people, regardless of their sexual minorities. Now, Fiji is a very conservative society, so for the church to come out, they've actually come out and said, stigma and discrimination can only be vanquished by the practice of unconditional love. Unconditional is unconditional. You cannot choose whom you have love and compassion for. This is really...
which is lovely, except for the bit at the end where they call us sinners.
Well,
baby steps.
It's a start.
And on the upside, the African Commission as well has released a resolution on the protection against violence for people based on sexual orientation and gender identity. So lots of good things happening around the world. Now, is that a text I see?
We've got a message in from Lee and Meredith. Hi, girls, long-time listeners. Hello, lovely people at Joy. Just want to say hello and let you know we are loving listening tonight. It's Joy with two women and two cats. I love cats.
I love cats, too.
And you know what? Two women and two cats means you're not on the wrong side of crazy cat people. So, well done, ladies.
You're on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
This is Nikki from Canada, where everybody can get married. You're listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
And a huge thank you to Scott Cuthbertson from the community. He is the Community Development Coordinator from the Equality Network of Scotland. You can find out more about them at all the W's, equality-network.org.
And thanks very much as well to Leah, Meredith, Rachel, Christine, Brian and Duke, who have texted this week or interacted with us on Facebook.
And you can follow us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, and we post stories from all around the world throughout the week, so you can get your daily dose of LGBT world news. Now, coming up next week, maybe we had Scott from Scotland, maybe we do Ken from Kenya, or you know, Sid from Sydney or something.
Exactly.
No, next week is our Radiothon show, which we can't wait. It is just so joy, and we're so excited.
But so many prizes, so many group hugs.
So many reasons to join up and become a member. So from the team here on Worldwide Wave, we look forward to seeing you next week on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.